22 to 34. Luke chapter 12, the verses 22 to 34. If you want to follow along in the same version that I'm reading from, you can find that on the insert in your bulletins. And on the back of the outline, there is the scripture reading from Luke 12. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word, Luke 12, beginning at verse 22. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not ask what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Thus the reading of God's word this morning from Luke chapter 12, the verses 22 to 34. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, as we begin this morning, it's very important you understand a bracketing structural marker in our text. At the end of verse 21, or the end of the parable of the rich fool, we see the word treasure. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And at the end of our scripture text today, verse 34, again we see the word treasure. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The word treasure, the Lord highlighting at the end of his parable of the rich fool, and the Lord highlighting once again and emphasizing by way of summary at the end of what he has just spoken to his disciples. Treasure in heaven and not treasure in the things of this world. At the end of the parable of the rich fool, preceding our text this morning, the Lord puts it this way: "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The treasure is the treasure of this earth that he has stored up for himself. And at the end of our passage this morning, verse 34, "Where is your treasure? Where it is, your heart will be also." A bracketing in our text, an emphasis on what the Lord has to say to us this morning. Now keep in mind the context of what's taken place in Luke 12. Jesus started out this chapter speaking of the conflict between himself and the religious authorities. He's warned the disciples to have no fear because they belong to Christ Jesus. And though they may stand up publicly and profess Jesus Christ and suffer for the name of Christ and that they belong to him, they should know that whatever financial loss they may suffer, or whatever persecution they may suffer because they have confessed Christ, the Lord Jesus has given them a much greater treasure than anything in this world. That's the point of the parable of the rich fool. The rich fool who stored up the things of earth instead of the things of heaven. And the Lord points out in verses 20 to 21 what was wrong with the rich fool. God said to him, verse 20, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? What good is your barns and extra barns going to help you on the night your soul is required of you, the night the Lord will bring you either to heaven or to hell? What good is your extra stored up crops? What good is what you have sought to achieve in life, to relax, to eat, to drink, and be merry at the end of your days? None of that will help you on the night your soul is required of you." And so that's where the Lord concludes the parable. "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." What does it mean to be rich toward God? It means you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It means that you know that you're a sinner and that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. It means that you have salvation and eternal life in Him. It means that your soul rests in heaven with Christ and with God eternally and forever in Him. That's what it means to be rich toward God and to not treasure things of this world. But now in verse 22, the Lord Jesus now has turned to his disciples. When he spoke the parable in verse 13, he is speaking to the whole crowd. But here in this verse and in the verses that follow, he is now turning to his disciples. You remember how the Lord speaks in parables, and he speaks to the crowd in parables, and there are some who hear the parable and respond and want to know more, and there are some who hear the parable and walk away. But when he turns to the disciples in follow-up to the parable, he is now speaking plainly and directly to them and to those who, as his disciples, are following him and belong to him. In these verses of our text, when Jesus turns toward the disciples and he speaks specifically and frankly to them, he is also speaking specifically and frankly to us, not in a parable. And he lays out a contrast, you see, that the people that are now listening to him would not be greedy like the rich fool, but nevertheless not anxious about life's necessities if you follow Christ Jesus. A contrast Jesus makes where he is clearly setting the difference between those who are disciples and believers and those who are not. And as disciples and believers who live their life on earth, they live their life recognizing that earthly things are subordinate to the eternal things and salvation that God has given to them from heaven. So what does the Lord have to say to his disciples and to us? First, don't be anxious about earthly necessities. Now, as you look this morning at verse 22, you see the Lord speaking to his disciples and now is saying to them, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on." Now, the Lord is not speaking now about the rich fool who stored up plentifully in his crops, building bigger barns, trying to increase his wealth. The Lord had provided for him plentifully, and then he turned it into making more and more than whatever he could. But when he now turns to the disciples in the church, he's speaking here specifically about the basic necessities of life. Even today, in the school books that are written even from a non-Christian perspective, You will read and hear people say, well, the basic necessities of life, that's food, clothing, and shelter. Well, Jesus has two of them here in this verse. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Why is Jesus telling his disciples not to worry about those things? Well, look what he goes on to say in verse 23. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Now, wait a minute, you say. How can life be more than the basic necessities of life, food and clothing? You can't live in this world without those basic things, food and clothing. But what is Jesus saying? He says life is about more than that, more than food, more than clothing. Life is about more than just earthly things. Life is about, Jesus has just taught in the parable, about being rich toward God. Life is about being saved from your sins in Jesus Christ. Life is about knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for your sins and rose from the grave. That when your life is over, there is a resurrection and eternal life with God the Father in heaven that is before you. You see, life in this world is about more than just food and clothing. Life is about salvation in Jesus Christ and eternal life in heaven. And Jesus now is saying, don't be anxious about these earthly necessities. Now, does he mean that those things aren't important? That, well, we have to have food, we have to have clothing to live in this world, but is that not to be important for us at all? Are we to ignore those or act like they're not even necessary for us? Well, the Lord goes on to explain what he means when he tells us not to be anxious about them. In fact, he goes to the realm of nature and he points to the ravens for us to help better understand what he means. Verse 24, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? You see, the illustration that Jesus uses is in contrast, as you look at the verse, directly to the barn builder. Mr. Barn Builder, he was someone who sowed and reaped. He was somebody who built storehouses and additional barns. You see, the Lord had provided for Mr. Barn Builder plentifully in Jesus' parable, but his focus in life is to obtain more and to increase his wealth so that at the end of his life in this world, he can relax, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord is saying, that should not be your focus. Look at the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have neither storehouse or barn, and yet God feeds them and provides for them. Now notice he isn't saying to us, well, the ravens, they don't do anything, right? So as a believer, we just have to live our lives in this world as if God will provide and not put any effort or anything at all. The raven is out there gathering the food. The raven has to work to gather the food that it eats. But nevertheless, what the Lord is saying to us here about the raven is in contrast to the rich fool who completely has the wrong focus. The raven understands, as Jesus points out, consider the raven, that God feeds them. And if the raven understands that, and the raven you see in the field or out in the wild lives that way, how much more value are you than the birds? You see, it's interesting here that the Lord uses the raven because the raven was the scavenger. The raven bird, that's why the situation with Elijah in the Old Testament was so miraculous. Because as Elijah was out in the wilderness, in the book of Kings, and the ravens came to feed him, the scavenger bird. God changed that scavenger bird to actually bring food to Elijah in a miraculous way. The raven in Jesus' day as the scavenger had no value to the people. It was a bird that was worthless in the eyes of the world. And yet, the raven is the bird the Lord chooses. The raven who understands or who lives in such a way that God provides for the raven. And as God provides for the raven, God will provide for you. Because how much more valuable are you than the bird? Well, as Jesus goes on then, he expands his point as he speaks to them in the next verse, verse 25. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Don't you see what Jesus is saying? God is the one who determines how long the raven will be provided for. As long as it pleases God to keep the raven alive, God will provide for the raven. And if God does that for the raven, how much more will God do that for you? And if you are worried about the time and about sowing and about all the things you need to store up for the future, you're going to be anxious. But the raven doesn't do that. He doesn't store. He doesn't reap and sow. He doesn't seek to plan out his future as if he's going to extend his life. God is in charge of life. God is in charge of your future. And if you're busy and anxious, storing up and planning for the future and focused on the earthly necessities so that you can extend the hours of your life, Jesus says you can't do that. All your effort, all your worry cannot add a single hour to the span of life. Jesus reminds us that God determines that. He goes on in verse 26 to say, if then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, extend an hour to your life, then why are you anxious about the rest? God is the one who provides. God is the one who gives life. Why would you worry, Jesus said, over something you have no control over? God provides clothes and God provides food. You remember what Jesus said in verse 22, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will put on. He first has answered the issue of food with the ravens, and now he goes to the lilies in verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. That means they think back to the Old Testament. They think back to King Solomon, who was the richest and most glorious king when it came to the earthly standards. Solomon, as God had blessed him in the Old Testament, had such great splendor that all the world, even the Queen of Sheba, came to see his glorious, wonderful earthly palace and possessions. But now Jesus said that the lily, who does nothing to grow but totally by God as a plant, a lily, consider how they grow. They don't do anything, not toil or spin. Yet I tell you, that lily, clothed by God, has far more glorious splendor than all of Solomon's possessions that he had in the Old Testament. None of them could be arrayed like one of the lilies that God clothed and that God's hand provided so that it would grow. In fact, he goes on in verse 28 to speak of the grass. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, he speaks next about the grass because, again, as a plant, the grass grows. God provides the grass, but even the grass is temporary. The grass which grows that God has clothed is alive in the field today. Tomorrow it's thrown in the oven and burned. It is a temporary, a short lifespan for the grass. And yet God's providence, he is in control of everything that happens in this world, the giver and the taker of life. But you who worry about these things, what does Jesus say? O you of little faith. You see, the Lord is calling his church and his people to have faith that seeks God's kingdom over earthly necessities. Look how he sums it up in the verses that follow, beginning verse 29. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor to be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Do you see the contrast he is making? The nations of the world, they seek after these things. When the nations of the world are focused on the ravens, they look at those ravens without God's perspective. They look at it from a perspective of the ravens out there gathering food. They look at the lilies as if they grow apart from God and God's provision. They don't see the beauty that God has caused to grow and that God has provided. The nations of the world are those who are seeking all the time about what to eat and what to drink and worried about obtaining and continuing to hold on to those things. But what does Jesus say at the end of verse 30? Your Father knows that you need them. Your Father knows that you need them. Jesus now describes the disciples as if God is their Father and they are the Father's children. He's coming to his conclusion that way. The Father knows that you need them. Remember what he taught them in the Lord's Prayer? In chapter 11, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, give us each day our daily bread. You see, the Father knows the daily provisions that his people need. He includes it in the Lord's Prayer, and the Father does provide them. He provides those daily provisions to his children. But what do you do instead? Verse 31. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. You see, priority one is to seek the kingdom of God. Priority one, what the Lord is telling us is that your focus, your mind, your heart in life would be focused on the kingdom of God and salvation in Jesus Christ and eternal life forever in heaven. That is the priority of what you seek. And secondary, the things of this earth, even the basic necessities of life, that the Father will add unto you. You see, that's the theme of this entire section that the Lord has laid out for his disciples and for his church. That they would understand that in the midst of a world that is hostile to Christ Jesus, that they would come to see the top priority of their life. That it's not about hanging on to the earthly things. That their life in this world is not about their focus of obtaining and being blessed with the things of this world, but that priority one is knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, seeking the kingdom of God that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought. And when you have a father-child relationship with Him, these earthly things will be added unto you. And so, as we come to the final verses, the Lord instructs His disciples, don't be anxious, because in Christ you have the treasure of heaven. Look how He speaks to them in verse 32. Fear not, little flock. Remember how He started? He said, do not be anxious. Now He's telling them to fear not, and He uses the language that they are a little flock. That's a tenderness from the Lord that He is now saying to the disciples, because He realizes as disciples and as members of the church, this is not an easy thing to do. We tend to worry and be concerned about the things of this world and whether we will be able to provide the basic necessities of life for our families or even for ourselves. So the Lord says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, the Father in heaven delights to give you the kingdom. He delights to give you the salvation, kingdom of God that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to bring. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, and He delights to give you salvation and the kingdom of God. So what are you to do? Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Well, does that mean that you're supposed to go home and sell all your possessions? Everything that you have, your house, your investments, whatever it would be, sell all your possessions and give to the needy. No, what the Lord is reminding us is what the man in the parable of Jesus that preceded these verses did not do. You see, the Lord had blessed Mr. Barn Builder with land, and God had provided the rain and the sun to produce the crops that the Lord blessed him with. The language that the Lord uses concerning this man is that his land produced plentifully. Plenty for him. And instead of then taking that planned, that plentiful food that God had provided and plentiful wealth and using it for the service of others, he kept it for himself, built bigger barns, increased his wealth so that he could provide plentifully for himself. And so the Lord says, sell your possessions, and look at what he has to say right after that, and give to the needy. The Lord provides for you plentifully. And as he provides plentifully, your goal is not to increase it more so that you can provide for yourself even more plentifully than what you need. But sell your possessions, he says, and give to the needy, and provide for yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. You see, when you understand the Lord's teaching that the kingdom of heaven is priority one, that the kingdom of heaven is over any earthly thing that you have or any earthly thing that you seek to have. When the kingdom of heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation is first and foremost over all, you understand the money bags that do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Think of the rich man. He made his money. He spent all his time, all that anxiety, saving up, building larger barns, trying to acquire things so he could live in relaxation at the end of his life. But on the night that the Lord required his soul, none of those things helped him at all. Think of how many people in this world are caught up with anxiety and worry seeking to obtain and to hold on to things, whatever it be, whether it's a house that grows old, or a stock investment that fails, or a computer that's hacked so that money is stolen from your bank account, or that a possession you have might come to be destroyed by a moth. Jesus tells us in verse 32, the treasure of salvation forevermore with God in heaven, it never grows old. It is a treasure that will never fail. It is a treasure that cannot be stolen from you by anybody. It is a treasure in heaven that no moth can destroy or bring decay. For that heavenly treasure of salvation in Jesus Christ is given to you by God. It is granted to you, and it is there forevermore. And so Jesus concludes verse 34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember the bracketing I spoke about at the very beginning of this sermon? Verse 21, the verse that precedes these verses of our text today. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself. That was the rich fool. He laid up treasure of the things of this earth up for himself, and he was not rich toward God. But verse 34, where your treasure is it on earth or is it in heaven? There will your heart be also. For the rich fool, his treasure was on earth. His treasure was in the things of this world that he wanted to accomplish, that he wanted to obtain, the wealth for the future of his life on earth. But for the believer who has Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and who has the kingdom of God as priority one, where his treasure is, his heart is, and his heart belongs to Christ. And on that night, when your soul is required of you, you hang on to Christ. You know that he has saved you from your sins. You know that because he is your treasure, your hope, your life, and your heart is set on him, you have no fear, for no one can take that salvation away from you. A salvation which never grows old. A salvation that never fails. A salvation that no one can steal from you. A salvation that a moth cannot destroy. But a salvation in Christ Jesus that is forever. That's what it means to be rich toward God. That's what it means to have your heart set on him. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today as we look at these verses because it reminds us, Lord, of where our priority should be. It is so easy for us as believers to become anxious about the things of this world, to be anxious about the provision that we need in our lives, whether it be the basic necessities to live or other things, Lord, that you have blessed us with. But Lord, this passage from our Savior reminds us today that our priority must be upon you and salvation forevermore. That we need not be anxious about what it means to know salvation from sin and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Father, we recognize that as you love us as a father to his children, you do provide, Lord, for us what we need. Father, help us not to become anxious about what we have in this world. To remind us, Lord, that all that anxiousness that we have over such things will never add a single hour to our life, for you have planned out our life from beginning to end. May our hearts trust in you and in our Savior who has given us this great salvation. May we treasure him above all. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.